Back Talk is an extension of the award-winning movie review show It's Movie Time, which airs on Thursdays at 4:01 and 8:01 p.m. on WCBE 90.5 FM. Produced and hosted by John DeSando, this podcast features additional content and banter with guests. Back Talk was listed by FeedSpot as one of the top 10 movie review podcasts on NPR.
Sweet. I'm John DeSando.
And I'm KG Klein.
And this is Back Talk. Well, if you think I can handle the House of Ghibli by myself, you're crazy. So I said, who's the wackiest guy I know, a fanatic about Japanese anime, and particularly Hayao Miyazaki? It's KG Klein.
Well, one of the great things about doing this show is we can bring to people's attention things that they might otherwise miss. Now, I know that a lot of our CBE listeners out there are very familiar with the work of Studio Ghibli and Hayao Miyazaki. We're talking about movies like Spirited Away, Kiki's Delivery Service, Princess Mononoke. Probably a lot of you out there have these Blu-rays already on your shelf, and you've watched them till you've worn them out. But we also know there's a few of you out there who have never heard or seen a Miyazaki movie.
And rightfully so.
And I'm envious of you. I really am, because you have never, it's like never having heard a John Williams soundtrack or never having seen a Norman Rockwell painting. You are so much to look forward to. And with Miyazaki's career winding down, as I said, I'm really envious of you because you have this collection of amazing movies to see. Well, most of the major movie theater chains every year show something called the Studio Ghibli Festival. And they present a number of Studio Ghibli films throughout the year. And this weekend, we decided to bring this to your attention because this weekend is the showing of Howl's Moving Castle.
All right. Let me repeat that title, Howl's Moving Castle. Believe me, the film is as eccentric as the title. That's the reason for our doing this. But actually, we could be in cinema classics.
Very easily.
You know, this could be
very
that show.
Easily,
but
yes.
We're doing it because it is being re-released. Well, I would get it online.
Yeah. It's going to be playing in most of the major movie theaters on Sunday in the dubbed version, and then I believe also on Tuesday in the original Japanese. But do contact your theater, check to make sure they're going to be showing it. It shouldn't be hard to find. Most of the major movie chains around Columbus are going to be showing
it. Look, if for nothing else, you want to hear Christian Bale play voice the hero.
The cast of any Studio Ghibli movie is always first rate because John Lasseter and Peter Docter of Pixar,
they're the voice coaches.
They discovered Miyazaki way back in the 90s and were just amazed at his work. And let it go on to have a lot of influence on the work of Disney.
Well, yeah, look at me. I'm thrilled because we have Billy Crystal going over the top.
Billy Crystal, yep. Probably my favorite voice dubbing of any actor in any Studio Ghibli movie.
I knew his voice right away.
He plays the demon Calcifer, and it is the most wonderful, humorous voice performance in any Miyazaki movie. It's very different from what was in the original Japanese version.
And then my heart stopped because Lauren Bacall.
Lauren Bacall plays the Witch of the West.
Yes.
And Gene Simmons, not the Kiss Gene Simmons, but the Gene Simmons of World War II movies, plays the voice of older Sophie.
Yes.
The voice casting, and again, Lasseter, when he discovered Miyazaki, he decided these films deserve an A-list cast. So every one of the Studio Ghibli films features voice actors who are strictly A-list. They're the best that they could get. This is not your typical anime with just unknown voices. This is all very beautifully done, and a lot of this was done with arrangements with Disney. Diane Wynne Jones, the British young adult author who wrote the original stories.
Right now we're looking at Howl's Moving Castle. And I want to throw in something here before we get right to the film. Roger Ebert suggested that Miyazaki may be the best animation filmmaker in history.
It is impossible to overplay Miyazaki. He is held in the same esteem within the motion picture industry as Stanley Kubrick. You just don't get any higher. When his name is mentioned, there's a reverence to it because his work consistently is absolutely amazing.
All right, so it's Howl's, like all of his other films, are filled with imagination.
Yes.
So exotic. This moving castle is like one big dinosaur with chicken legs.
Miyazaki did this movie as a anti-war theme film. And this is the reason why I picked this one among all the movies in the Ghibli Festival this year to talk about, because this is probably the one that Western audiences are going to have the easiest time connecting with. Most of his films are set in Japan. Most of his main characters are girls who are between the ages of about 11 and 13.
We got one is 18.
Well, and this one, because it's based on this novel by Diane Wynne Jones, the characters are all very Western. It's set somewhere in Europe. It's set around the early 1900s, and it's set in a universe that people have said probably influenced Harry Potter. So if you're a Harry Potter fan, you really should see Howl's Moving Castle to see where Harry Potter came from. This is a world where magic and technology both exist simultaneously, and a very small number of people have magical abilities, but it's magic is not unknown in this world. And we see Howl is a top-ranked warlock. The Witch of the West is a witch. Most of the characters that we see, and even Sophie, has some magical abilities.
Sure. The good thing is, when you go, you're going to catch a little bit of the Wizard of Oz.
A little bit of the Wizard of Oz in this as well.
Yeah. So as you see how he can take the Western tradition, and with his witches and so on, he can blend the cultures. This is a beautiful thing about it. And he doesn't care anyway what we think.
And these are probably his most complicated characters. Sophie is a flawed character. She starts out somewhat introverted but very proud. We meet Howl, who is a very flawed character. Very, very self-centered. He's
a young
very
wizard,
selfish.
Young wizard.
He's a very vain young wizard.
Yes, he is.
And fortunately, Miyazaki toned him down from the original book. But yeah, he is a very self-centered individual who has to find a way to become more compassionate. And that this is the theme of this film, is anti-war and compassion. Miyazaki created this movie in response to the 2003 invasion of Iraq. He was very strongly against that, and he wanted to do a strong anti-war film. And then he was given the book, Howl's Moving Castle, and found that theme in the book and made it the theme of the movie.
Well, frequently Miyazaki deals with curses.
Oh, yes.
And he likes that because you can overcome them. That's what he sees in it. You know, why have so many curses? Well, because then you can overcome that curse and really be heroic. In this case, our little Sophie is cursed to be an old woman.
And what happens to Sophie when she becomes an old woman is, and this is very different from most cinema, she becomes freed to speak her mind. She becomes free to be the person she wants to be. Because when she's a younger girl, she is trying to conform. She's trying to fit into social expectations. But the minute she gets this curse and turns into about an 80-year-old woman, she doesn't care anymore.
No,
she can speak her mind. She can be, and she is empowered. And so rarely do we see senior citizens, especially elderly women, empowered in movies.
Yeah, and she gets a job, or she gives herself a job at the castle, cleaning the castle.
She takes a job at the castle.
She does.
Nobody
right.
dare stand in her way.
This castle is so frequently exotic. If you open a door, you can be in a completely different world.
Yes. And it's run by Billy Crystal as Calcifer the fire demon.
You have to listen to him.
Oh, my gosh.
That is the one voice that you will recognize.
He is so good in this.
Yeah.
I mean, he steals his scenes in this movie.
He's like a ball of fire.
Yeah, sitting in a fireplace.
Well, he supplies the energy for the castle.
They let him basically improv the way that Robin Williams did in Aladdin, and he just steals the show. He's absolutely wonderful. Very different from other Miyazaki movies where the voice acting is very scripted. He is just doing his thing.
I'm also interested in the fact that we also have a witch, that Wicked Witch.
Yeah, we have the Wicked Witch, voiced, as you said, by Lauren Bacall. Yeah,
who actually gives Sophie the curse.
Then, as the movie progresses, when Sophie learns who she is, and then when the witch's power is stolen from her, Sophie starts caring for her. Even though she was the one that cursed her, Sophie shows compassion by caring for the witch when her power has been stripped away.
But Ken, it is almost impossible not to be overwhelmed by the animation.
The visuals are just Miyazaki created, every one of his movies is fantastic, but he created three movies that were masterpieces. And these are, in my opinion, Spirited Away, Princess Mononoke, and Howl's Moving Castle.
Yeah.
Any one of these three, Disney has never touched the quality of animation that you see in those movies.
There are moments when I actually think it's three-dimensional. And there are other moments when I think it's just like a painting. He has such variety of style. And he doesn't care what we think.
He doesn't.
No.
He,
Miyazaki, it doesn't make sense. He says, I don't care.
Often in animation, they'll start with a very free-form, out-of-focus shape and then focus in and bring detail. Miyazaki does the opposite. He shows you the first scene very, very detailed, and then he begins to blur and take the scene out of focus. This one came from young adult novels by Diane Wynne Jones, and we'll talk a little bit about Diane Wynne Jones.
What's your recommendation?
This is an opportunity to see the movie in the theater. If you have never seen a Miyazaki movie before, grab your kids, grab your grandparents, grab everybody that you can and see the dubbed version of this movie. You will come away transformed. It's a life-changing experience.
And if you see it online, you can have the subscript. It translates.
You can also. Yeah, you can also have it with subtitles.
Well, Ken, we're still talking about Miyazaki and Japanese anime and Howl's Moving Castle.
Yes. Well, one thing I want to point out is all Miyazaki movies were released by Studio Ghibli, but not all Studio Ghibli movies are Miyazaki movies. His studio produced a large number of movies that he personally didn't write and direct. Just because you see Studio Ghibli does not necessarily mean you're getting a Miyazaki movie. It does mean you're going to get a great movie, but you've actually got to know which ones are Miyazaki.
And he co-founded that studio.
He did. He co-founded Studio Ghibli. It started out when he first got started working on a movie called Nausicaa. Yeah, Nausicaa, Valley of the Wind. Magnificent. All of his films are magnificent.
And I need to give credit to Aseo Takahata, who was his co-founder.
Yes, was his co-founder.
And there are some things that I wanted to mention thematically for him before we even get going with Morse. He likes to depict the joy of liberation. This is a kind of an overarching theme, as well as having the will of the characters as driving the animation. It's just a couple of quotes that I picked up from scholars. Hmm. And the other final one is he has been compared with, and favorably with, Walt Disney, Steven Spielberg, and Orson Welles.
Yes, and I would add to that Stanley Kubrick.
Recently he got the Oscar.
For A Boy and His Heron, not one of his best works.
No, I would but put, we both liked it.
We both liked it, but it was certainly not up to the expectations that people had. And I personally would have rather have seen Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse have gotten that
award. That's right. Here we go again.
I'm
afraid to let you in on
just,
that.
Just, that was another magnificent
film. In 2014, the Academy gave him an honorary award.
Honorary Oscar for
the only other Japanese filmmaker who received that was Akira
Kurosawa.
Yeah.
That's how high Miyazaki ranks.
Yes.
To what you said, I would add a few other characteristics about him. One is you almost always see a flying machine or an airship of some kind in his movies. He is very, very big on airships, and he manages to sneak them into almost every one of his movies. Kiki's Delivery Service, the whole ending sequence is about Kiki rescuing this other boy from a crashed dirigible. So you'll see a lot of these in his films. Another thing is most of his movies start out with the protagonist, the young girl, being sort of naive, maybe a little self-indulgent, and then being put into a magical situation where she has to learn to become more compassionate and more caring for others in order to get through the storyline. That happens in Spirited Away. That happens in Kiki's Delivery Service. That happens in Nausicaa, Castle in the Sky. It's a very common theme for him is that the movies are not plot-driven so much as they're character-driven by the growth of the character.
Yeah, and that's a great point. Let me give you a quote that supports everything that you said, and this is what he himself said. I believe that children's souls are the inheritors of historical memory from previous generations. It's just that as they grow older and experience the everyday world, that memory sinks lower and lower. I feel I need to make a film that reaches down to that level. If I could do that, I'd die happy.
Isn't that wonderful?
Isn't that great?
He's empowering their magic,
I
think that's just one. And that's what Disney tries to do, too. But I think Miyazaki consistently has done it better than Disney has.
We mentioned this in It's Movie Time, and I want to mention it again, but his quote, I don't provide unnecessary explanations. If you want that, you're not going to like my movie. That's just the way it is. Isn't that?
And that's very true of him, although I would say I wish there were a few more of them in The Boy and the Heron. That movie could have used a few more explanations.
Yeah.
But that's very, very true of most of his movies. There's no need to go into a lot of exposition. Just watch the growth of the characters, the changes that take place, and it's so subtle. it's not so subtle that even kids can't pick it up.
Well, he tells his CGI staff, not to be accurate, mm-hmm. not to be true. We're making a mystery here, so make it mysterious.
Yes.
Isn't that
yes.
Just...
And that's why his movies are works of art. They're not trying to be photograph quality. He's not going for something on the level of The Lion King or Mufasa. He's trying to do something very artistic, and he succeeds. Oh, does he succeed?
Is there anything in the Western culture, in animation, that you can see comes close to Miyazaki?
Well, in terms of the art, Disney tries. Disney was very, very influenced by Miyazaki from the point when Lasseter discovered Miyazaki in the late 90s. Lasseter realized Miyazaki was doing something much better than what Disney was doing. So around the time that Disney made Tangled, and then through Brave, Frozen, Wreck-It Ralph, all of these films gained from the influences of Miyazaki and Miyazaki's storytelling. Frozen in particular, I think, is very influenced by Miyazaki and the idea that there's no villain. Miyazaki films very rarely have a real villain. The villain is people's ignorance, people's conflicts. One person has one goal and the other person has another goal, and those goals can never meet without interfering with the other.
Yeah.
And I love that. I love movies that don't have a villain, because a villain is too often a cop-out.
Well, what would you say is the villain in Howl's? Do we have one?
You kind of have a villain with The Witch of the West.
Yes.
She's toned down a lot from the original book. You kind of have a villain with Suleiman. But really, ultimately, the villain is people's characteristics, Howl's vanity, Howl's selfishness, Sophie's pride. All of these are things that have to be brought to terms with. And then, of course, there's the issue with Kelsifer, which is a very complicated issue as well.
Yes.
And all of this has to be sorted out.
Yes.
For the characters to become really, really well-rounded people.
Well, overarching for me is the whole concept of aging.
Yes,
I think he does a beautiful job with this and takes this, as you had pointed out, in his movie time. He's just, it's just like a bolt. No, she's not going to be subjected to usual stereotypes of being old.
Howl stands out from other Miyazaki movies in the idea of the older character. Sophie is an old woman through most of the movie. The Witch of the West is an old woman through most of the movie. The characters are much, much more mature. And these are characters we don't see in cinema in general.
No.
Empowered senior citizens is not something we're used to seeing on the big screen. And
there are places in Howl's Moving Castle where he abruptly changes between young Sophie and old Sophie.
Yes.
And
Wow,
is that disconcerting.
Yeah. Well, and this goes back, I'm glad you mentioned that, because that takes us back a little bit to the original novel and the changes that were made. The original novel, the Witch of the West was a very, very powerful villain, but in the original novel, the idea of magic and technology existing at the same time was much more relevant.
Mm-hmm.
And more people in the original novel have magic. In the original novel, Sophie has magic. And Sophie has the ability to control her curse to some extent in the original book. So when you see her becoming her young self again, those are moments when she's sleeping and she's been able to take control of her curse and restore herself back to her original power. And this, again, kind of ties into the Harry Potter connection, and that in Harry Potter, most of the world is muggles, and a small percentage, maybe 1 in 1,000, has magical abilities. And that idea can be traced back to Diane Wynne Jones in the early 1970s and the Howl's books. And I want to point out, Diane Wynne Jones studied literature at Oxford under C.S. Lewis and J.R.R. Tolkien.
Wow, duh.
So this is a connection.
Well, is that a tough
connection?
That
we can take Harry Potter through Howl's right back to the Chronicles of Narnia and the Lord of the Rings.
I mentioned in It's Movie Time a connection between this and The Wizard of Oz.
Mm-hmm.
And the one that sparks that immediately is her buddy, the Scarecrow.
Yes, yes.
And when you hit the Scarecrow, then you know that Miyazaki's kind of nodding toward us. And they're taking a journey, as Dorothy did.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really a sweet touch. He doesn't care. He knows that we know that this is Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
And he wants you to connect.
And he's another part where compassion has to come into play, because he can't talk. We don't know who he is or what he is until the very end. But again, as I talked about earlier, the big thing that Miyazaki did, that drove Miyazaki to make this movie, was the 2003 invasion of Iraq. He was very much against that. And he wanted to make a movie with a strong anti-war theme. And that is where this diverges from the original book. The book, there's a war going on, but it plays a very distant role. But in the movie, the war is everything. You see the giant warships. And one of my favorite scenes in Howl's Moving Castle is when Sophie is out in this beautiful pasture, the little lake next to them, that beautiful little house. And then all of a sudden, that beauty is disrupted by the warships flying overhead and dropping their bombs. And that is such a compelling statement by Miyazaki.
And more than one of the bigwigs in this film, and Howl, mentions that war is futile and stupid and silly.
Yeah.
While they seem unable to stop it, a king or queen or whoever it is that mentions that.
And Miyazaki is implying that war is controlled by politicians.
Yes.
And politicians do not sense the pain and the suffering and the destruction. Yes. They're removed from that.
Yes.
So when the ships come returning from the war and they're burned out hulks sailing into the harbor, politicians aren't seeing that. They're just saying, we have to beat them. We're gonna be triumphant, but they don't know the cost. And that is Miyazaki's point, is that the compassion is missing. The sense of humanity has been taken away, and war has taken its place, and we need to restore that compassion and that sense of humanity.
I appreciated your comments about American animation. And you mentioned one of your heroes, John Lasseter.
Yeah, Lasseter discovered Miyazaki. Miyazaki was just known in Japan when Lasseter discovered him and said, wait a second. He was running Pixar at that time.
Yes.
What we're doing in Disney and in Pixar doesn't come close to what's going
Although
on.
Although you can
here.
See him attempting, I think, would Toy Story still be Lasseter?
Yeah, Toy Story would definitely be Lasseter.
Yeah, right. And I can see in there the influence of Miyazaki.
Yeah.
There's something deeper about his characters, and there's thematically something finer and more humane.
Yes, and again, the no villains and the idea that the characters have to grow as individuals in order to satisfy the story.
Yeah. All right, K.G. Klein, we've barely touched the surface, but I think we've introduced people to Hayao Miyazaki in a way that they might go out to their local theater to see it this weekend. Or streaming, and you can have it a number of ways. One of them would be the dubbed, which we recommend.
We recommend. In the case of Miyazaki, always do the dubbed, because you're going to get really good A-list actors performing the roles.
Yeah.
It's just wonderfully done.
And animation like you've never seen.
Animation like you've never seen. You will be addicted, I think, is a good word. The moment you see this, you're going to walk out of the theater going, I've never seen anything like this in my whole life. And I want to tell everyone, and I want my kids to see this movie. My son was raised on Miyazaki. When he was 9 years old, he went out trick-or-treating as the No-Face from Spirited Away. And he is still, to this day, a huge Miyazaki fan. And I think there's no age, maybe below five, that you can't introduce kids to My Neighbor Totoro or Kiki's Delivery Service and get them interested in Miyazaki as well.
Howl's Moving Castle. It's a castle like you've never seen before.